So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, Divinity and Divine Service, text number 16.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Shushru Shoshra Dadhanasya Vasudeva Kartaruchi. Syam Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nashevanat.
O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, a vivid description of the asuras is given, in which it is said that the asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms, and have no information of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the asuras, and the demoniac followers of such asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself, according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although, undoubtedly, he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Om Agyana Timurandasha Gunanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmaishi Gurave Nama. So this is one of those very, very most important verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The fact is we're suffering right now in this material existence. That's a fact. No matter how hard we try to enjoy here, the bottom line is we're never satisfied in this place. We may think we're going to be satisfied, but actually we never become satisfied in this place. In the place of our satisfaction, that is the kingdom of God. That place we must qualify ourselves to enter. And even if you enter into the state of being qualified, then virtually you're already there. In other words, you don't have to wait for death, pie in the sky, when you die by and by. One can actually enter into the spiritual world now by developing the Vaikuntha mood, the Vaikuntha attitude. So what is that qualification to become eligible to enter in the kingdom of God? That qualification is to be very eager to hear about God. But the problem is, we're not so eager. You see, I'm more eager to hear how great I am. You see, that's my disease. I'm more eager to hear how great I am. This is our problem in this material world. You're thinking, well, the glories of God, that's all right, but if somebody comes to glorify me, then I'm really interested. So how do we get over this disease? I, me, and mine. Me-ism. How do we get over me-ism? I-ism, me-ism. Is it? How do we get over it? Well, we need to associate with people who are actually serving God. That's really what we have to do. We have to find those persons who are fully absorbed in serving God 24 hours a day. And as Prabhupada says here, by serving such servants, then gradually one gets the quality of such servants. It's a very important thing. We have to be in the mood of serving such servants. If we think, well, who are they, you know? Who is that person anyway? I don't need to serve. Then we're hurting ourselves. We have to actually be very, very eager to serve the servants of the Lord who have sacrificed everything to spread His glories. Because that's by that service, we develop our qualities. There's a tendency we have to be envious. Why should I serve that person? I'm as good as they are. I'm better than they are. We have a tendency to be envious. Even amongst devotees, you see, this happens. One becomes envious. Because of envy, then one may end up committing offenses. Vaishnava Parab. And that, even if they don't come out overtly, if they're just there, you know, sitting in the heart, then they'll come out one way or another. So we have to be very, very careful not to have any, you know, envious attitude, angry attitude towards the servants who have fully absorbed themselves in Krishna's service. We have to be very, very respectful to them. We have to cultivate a mood of appreciation service, loving surrender to such exalted servants. Because by that attitude of appreciation for them, then we'll actually get those qualities. Out of envy sometimes, when envy comes, we don't like that person has better qualities than I do, so we want to try to cut those down, to minimize. Well, they're not really, you know, they have this fault, they have that fault. In this way, out of envy, we want to cut down the senior devotee in our mind. Thinking that that way we can be one up on them. The old karmic game of one-upmanship. I'll become one up on the senior devotee by, you know, he's no good. He has so many faults. Let me see. In this way, we'll concoct so many things. Just like there's some envious people now who are trying to bring down, they're trying to dismantle ISKCON's GBC through some legal action. They took some instruction that Prabhupada gave in 71 saying the GBC should be elected every 3 years. And they're trying to get a petition together to put this to a judge to get a court order to force the GBC to have elections, failing to note that in 1977, just before his disappearance, Srila Prabhupada said the GBC should be a lifetime position. You see, even though it's clearly stated in, you know, that it's readily available for everyone to see that Prabhupada directly stated that the GBC should be lifetime positions. But because they're envious of somebody who has a lifetime position of management in a spiritual society, they want to ignore, instead of humbly taking Prabhupada's instructions and accepting Prabhupada's authority as the guiding, as his instructions are the guiding principle of ISKCON, they want to try to dismantle the leadership of ISKCON so they can feel they're one up. So they're trying to get together a petition so they can submit to a judge to force the GBC to do what Prabhupada had said earlier, but changed later on. So it's completely out of envy. It's not a sincere desire to serve Srila Prabhupada. It's not a sincere desire to serve Prabhupada. It's simply out of envy. They have a big position and I don't, so I want to cut them down from that position because I'm envious. So such persons, you see, who are acting out of envy, they can never actually develop a taste for hearing about the glories of the Lord. They will never develop a taste. One has to be in the mood of serving the those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. The foolishness of it is, they think, well, you know, he has these advanced qualities and I don't, so I'll just minimize, I'll be one up on him by cutting him down. But the smart thing is, if you actually worship and appreciate the qualities of that senior devotee, those qualities will come to you automatically. By appreciating a senior devotee, you will develop the qualities of that senior devotee. They will come. You don't have to cut him down. You will get those qualities. You will be elevated to that same level of advanced Krishna consciousness, not by cutting him down, but by appreciating the qualities of that advanced devotee, he or she. As confirmed by Prabhupada here. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of a God. So someone may say, well, I have no, that's fine, I accept the principle, but where's the opportunity for service? Someone may be in an isolated place and, you know, have very little opportunity for service. Well, you know what? Even if you can't physically serve them, just even if within your mind, within your heart, you're appreciating their qualities, you see. That is also, that way you will also benefit. Even if you can't very often get the opportunity to physically serve those servants of the Lord who are fully absorbed in serving Him. Even if you don't always get that opportunity, but if you can always think very highly of them within your heart. You see? Just by those positive thoughts in your heart towards them, then those their qualities will be coming to you more and more and more and more. Just like I have seen your godbrothers in my movement. I mean, in our movement. Well, it is mine and it is yours. It's all of ours, actually. I feel it's my movement, and you should feel it's your movement. This is our movement. The sense of proprietorship is actually very good. We shouldn't feel like we're strangers. This is our home, just like you can say, this is my home. I said my movement, not that I'm the owner of it, but I feel that, you know, this is it for me. I have nowhere else. So, the more we can actually develop this attitude of respect, appreciation. So I have, in our movement, we have so many devotees that are a great shelter, inspiration. I hardly have a chance to associate with them. Very rare. Because they're traveling and preaching, I'm traveling and preaching. Maybe our paths cross, you know, once a year, once every 5 years. But yet within my heart, I'm always worshiping and appreciating their divine qualities and admiring their wonderful Krishna consciousness. So in this way, even though I'm physically separated from them, I'm getting the benefit of their association. I'm being elevated by their association because of my positive thoughts of them. Not thinking, well, they have some big, you know, they're more well known than I am, so, and I don't like that, so, you know, I'll cut them down and think, well, they really have this bad quality. You know, this is stupid. See, this is called envy. The more I actually appreciate their wonderful qualities, then naturally those qualities come to me. So this is a very important principle which is often neglected in our society. That we, instead of appreciating the older devotees, we want to cut them down out of envy. So we've had to be very, very careful of this tendency, because this will cut off our ability to have taste for hearing the glories of God. Any offensive mentality we have towards any devotees, you see, will disenable us to relish the nectar of Vasudeva Katha. It will disenable us, you see. We'll all of a sudden find that our internet connection has been severed, our Krishna net connection has been severed if we have any envy towards Vaishnavas. So we should always be very, very appreciative of the devotees. And that way we'll always be connected. We'll have a wireless connection, global wireless connection to the Krishna net wherever we go. We'll always be online with Krishna wherever we go by appreciating. Actually, every single devotee is an access point to the Krishna net. So the more we can appreciate the devotees within our heart, and if we're with them, our dealings with them, then where we can show love and appreciation for the devotees, we'll feel how we are more and more and more and more intimately, solidly, enlivenedly, if we can coin a term here, connected with Krishna. You see? Devotees are the access point. They are what enable us to connect with Krishna. We cannot approach Krishna directly. Some devotees can, but that's rare, like Arjuna or Lord Brahma. But we are meant to approach through the disciplic succession. Krishna told Arjuna in the Adi Purana, it is very nicely quoted. He said, my dear Arjuna, he says, one who is my devotee, not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. So we have to find the devotees of the Lord and become their devotees. We have to find those persons who are purely absorbed in serving Krishna 24 hours a day, especially those advanced devotees, you see, who are purely serving Lord Krishna 24 hours a day, and we have to become their devotees. We have to become devoted to those devotees. And that will enable us to actually develop a very, very, very strong, powerful taste for hearing the glories of Krishna. This is an exalted stage, actually. It's called ruchi. That's the exact word used in this verse. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. Ruchi is an advanced stage of advancement in Krishna consciousness. The first stage is faith, Shraddha. The next stage is Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees. The third stage is Bhajana Kriya, when you get initiated. You agree to follow the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga, beginning with taking initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. And then after Bhajana Kriya, the next stage is Anartha Nivritti. That's when all the crud starts to get loosened up and starts to come out. Little by little, that crud just starts coming out, that accumulated crud from millions and millions of lifetimes. And then as that crud begins to become more and more dissipated, you start to emerge, instead of being this shaky, well, I don't know, maybe not devotee, you see. You become solid, yes, Krishna consciousness. Nothing else for me but Krishna consciousness. You emerge from the fog of ambivalence, you see, uncertainty, into the clear sunlight of fixity, certainty that, yes, Krishna consciousness is the absolute truth. It's what everyone needs. Every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet should be practicing Krishna consciousness today. You see, they need it desperately. One becomes convinced. One becomes full of conviction that actually everyone needs Krishna consciousness. The Christians, the Jews, the atheists, the Muslims, the Mormons, you know, that group in Japan who worships the sun. Everyone needs Krishna consciousness to actually get free of other anxieties. One develops this conviction, this certainty, this fixity of consciousness. And then, after you become very solidly convinced, there's no more, well, maybe, maybe not. Once you're beyond the mental plane like that, then you come to the stage where the ruchi, actually, the sweet taste of Krishna's name just can inundate your heart like an incredible tsunami, just sweeping away all millions of lifetimes of suffering conditions. So then you come to ruchi, and then there's higher stages beyond that as well. Ruchi is then leads you to even higher stages called asakti and bhava and prema, which is the ultimate stage. But if we really want to know the insider secret of how to get to ruchi as quickly as possible, you see, that's shushu shoshadana shavat. You see, serving those devotees who are completely free from vice. Mahat sevaya. Mahat means the great, just like Mahatma, you see. Mahat means great personality. Mahat sevaya. Sevaya means, seva means service, and sevaya, that verbal ending, means by service. Seva is service, and sevaya is by service, through rendering of service. You see, mahat sevaya, through rendering of service to the mahats, the great devotees of the Lord, then one achieves vasudeva katha ruchi. So whenever you have the opportunity to be with the devotees, don't take it for granted. I know one of my godbrothers, he was Prabhupada's personal servant, and he noted there's a tendency after you've been with Prabhupada for a while to start to think he's an ordinary person. To forget this is the spiritual master of the universe. So he would sometimes just, you know, walk away for a few minutes from Prabhupada's presence and just beat his mind with shoes to remind himself he was dealing with the spiritual master of the entire universe. Not to see it as just an ordinary Indian Swami or an old man, you see. So we have to sometimes beat our mind with shoes when we're dealing with advanced devotees and not see them as ordinary people. We have to remind ourselves we are dealing with great personalities. We have to show the utmost of respect and the utmost in spontaneous, loving service mood also. Not that we just sit back and say, well, I don't want to do anything, so I don't commit an offense. No, we should be going forward to serve with love the senior devotees. Every available opportunity that we have to serve them with love, we should take that opportunity. There's two kinds, there's actually four kinds of servants. Of the, huh? Five? Oh, really? What's the fifth?
5 minutes.
Oh, we have 5 minutes. I was thinking there's a new kind of servant, the fifth kind of servant who knows. Yes, so. All right. Next time we come back, we'll tell about the four kinds of servant. But you want to hear now?
Please.
All right. The fourth kind of servant, a fourth class servant, you tell him what to do, and then he won't do it. Just refuses to do it. See, it's a fourth class servant. The third class, he's told what to do, and he does it, but begrudgingly, with not a very nice attitude. He does it, but he doesn't do it with love. Or she, you know, same thing. The second class, they do it very nicely, with loving feeling. Whatever they're told to do, they do it very, very lovingly and nicely. But they have to always be told. They don't have the intelligence to see what needs to be done and just go forward to do it. You see, they don't have that intelligence. They have to be told every little thing. Do this and do that. Now do this, do that. Otherwise, they just sit dumb. They don't know anything. The first class servant knows what needs to be done, even without being told. They can see, oh, this needs to be done, and they do that. Actually, the best thing to do, if you're not sure if something should be done or shouldn't, step forward and spontaneously do things is a good thing to do. If you're not really sure, go ahead. You think it should probably be done, go ahead and do it, and then you can always be corrective. It's better to take the risk of trying to be a first-class servant instead of being, let me be a safe second-class servant. It's better to take the risk of being a first-class servant and always spontaneously trying to do service in many different ways. And then you can always be, you know, if you sometimes do the wrong thing, then that's all right. You can be told this is the better way to do it. But that's the best thing to do, is always be going forward spontaneously to do service. Without waiting to be told. So now we can ask if there's any question.
Wouldn't it be better to say, may I do this?
Huh?
Wouldn't it be better to ask, may I do this?
May I do this?
Hmm? Like you said, first class, you go ahead and spontaneously do the wrong. Instead of doing the wrong, wouldn't it be better?
That can also be there. I mean, sometimes, you don't have an opportunity to ask. Just like the spiritual master is coming. He hasn't arrived yet. You're thinking, well, how we can arrange, how we can make a nice arrangement for his arrival. You see, you may not be able to ask him. You just have to try to use your intelligence.
The telephones are there. So many ways are there. That can be asked.
It's a good point, Manaji. You can always ask, may I do this?
It doesn't have to be a spiritual master. There are devotees.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's a good point. Any other questions? 30 seconds? Time's up? All right, so next time. Of course, there will be a lecture this afternoon. You can ask questions of the lecture. It'd be nice in the public gathering. You can ask like questions, and you can save your questions for the public for the Sunday feast lecture tonight. So we thank you very much. We appreciate it very much. Your wonderful, wonderful, sweet, sweet, sweet loving kindness to open your home and your hearts up to us very nicely. And we pray now that you can become both. That you can become fully absorbed in Krishna Bhakti 24 hours a day, that you'll never ever feel any anxieties or illusion ever again. We're praying them for you, both of you. You're both very nice devotees, and so now give up all the anartas and come to the platform being fixed up so you can relish that sweet, sweet taste at every minute. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.